Hello there, I'm George Cookson and welcome to my podcast. Today, I'm going to be talking about my personal experience with sports coaching. Let's start off with what are sports coaches? Andras Sarsbo suggests that sports coaches develop people to improve their performance. Also, another quote from Charlotte Fenton states that the role of sports coaches is to create the right conditions for learning to happen and ways to find of motivating athletes. Most athletes are highly motivated, therefore the task is to maintain the motivation and to generate excitement and enthusiasm later on in life. I would say that my first coaching experience would be at my rugby club, Telford Rugby Club to be precise, where me and my teammates had to coach the younger kids, usually from ages 11 to 13. We would start the sessions by doing a warm-up, then going into an activity that had been designed by me or one of my teammates. I would say by doing this that it didn't only benefit the kids, but also benefit me because it helped me gain more insight in what it takes to become a coach, but also tested me on my knowledge of rugby. And a quote by Geoffrey Frost, a coach should know as much about his or her sport as possible, because knowledge of the sport is an important factor in overall coaching success. Also, coaching the kids was important for me because it taught me new things like adapting sessions to the athletes depending on what age they are, and other things like how to act and communicate. Because just like Hannah Elton says, coaches are important role models for children and youths, along with parents, because they are like significant adult influences. Another coaching experience of mine was being when I was attending college. I had to do an assessment which involved me planning and organising a session, then delivering it to my classmates who would participate in it. I would then get feedback once I'd completed the session from my teacher who was assessing me. I would then reflect on this, assessing how well I performed as a coach and if this session was successful or not. Roe McGann says that getting points across is essential to player success, and I really agree with this because I think that you can plan out an amazing session, but if you don't deliver it properly, then you fail the most important task, which is improve participation skills and knowledge. The second coaching experience while I was attending college was when I went on work experience. My placement was at Greenfields Primary School and I was there for around 2 weeks. I had the opportunity to coach and teach reception and all the way up to year six. This was a valuable experience to me because each age group was different at different stages when it came to their sport skills. And to paraphrase UK sport coaching team, you must plan and organise sessions and programmes to meet the performers' needs and guides for their development. And I would agree with this. And you also want to keep participants, especially young ones, happy and entertained because, like John Lyle says, good sports coaching is an important element in drive to increase sports participation within society. My last coaching experience I want to talk about would be with Stats University, where I got to undertake two coaching qualifications set up by the national governing body for level 1 cricket and primary school football. If you don't know what a national governing body is, it is an organisation that governs and administrates a sport on a national basis. So, in level 1 cricket and primary school qualification sessions, it usually involved the instructors giving us a quick brief on what would take place in the sessions. The first thing we did would be a warm-up that had something to do with the sport we were learning about. We then split off into different groups and the instructors would give us a piece of paper, and the piece of paper would have an activity on, and we had to set out the activity and deliver it to the other people in the group. Once we delivered these sessions, we were given feedback from the instructors about our strengths and weaknesses and asked on how we can improve. An example might be if our session wasn't planned out properly and didn't flow smoothly, or if the delivery wasn't clear enough for the group. Stephen Watson says that a well-planned session should move quickly from one activity to the other, and human kinetics say that coaches need to be able to clearly communicate expectations, goals and standards to their athletes. I think all of these experiences have given me valuable skills in what it takes to become a top coach. This includes good communication, planning and patience. Even though I have improved in some areas, there is still room to improve in others, like being able to analyse problems and knowing how to adapt the sessions for certain individuals. And like a higher university states, to be a good coach, you must understand how to manage individuals on your team. Right now, I am in my third year at university, studying sports coaching, and in the future, I am planning on either getting my PGCE teaching qualification, so I can teach in primary schools, or joining my local coaching company and getting different coaching qualifications through them. Okay, I think I've talked for long enough. We're going to go into a quick break and we'll be right back with an interview with Claire Beddow. Hello there, welcome back to my podcast. I'm here with Claire Beddow. So Claire, how did you get into what you do?
So I am a secondary teacher at the moment, but initially the reason I got into this was I found a job working in a school as a gap student straight after my degree because I wasn't really sure which way I wanted to go with it, and thought that teaching would be something that I would enjoy. So I worked in a school for a year from ages 4 to 18 to kind of decide if I wanted to do primary or secondary. From there, I picked up a load of coaching roles. So I coached at a local hockey club. I helped at county training. And then since then, have developed that into being one of the county coaches and managers. And I also coached at a local swimming team. And then from there, decided that based on my experiences and how much I enjoyed it, I applied to do my PGCE at Worcester. And I have now completed that and am teaching at a school at the moment.
Second question, how long have you been coaching for?
So I started coaching the year after I finished my degree. So I'm into my third year of being kind of a consistent coach. I coach a local hockey team for both junior sessions, under 16 sessions, and sometimes when needed, adult sessions. I also coached for a year and a half at a local swimming club. I stopped this due to just other commitments, but that was a really, really good way to see a different sport and different ways of actually coaching. And then I began assisting with coaching 3 years ago at the Shropshire County squad. And then the year after, I progressed to being a joint manager and coach, and I've continued with that role into my third year now.
Third question, how do you keep on top of what you do to be up to date?
To help myself keep on top of what I'm doing at the moment and being like up to date with everything, I follow a lot of accounts on Twitter. It's kind of my first point of call without having to spend any money. I think it's a really good way to get new ideas, see what other people are doing. So I have a professional Twitter account that I literally just follow other teachers, teaching organisations, coaching organisations, national governing bodies for sport. And I picked up a load of new ideas in coaching drills, activities, techniques that I found really, really useful. Alongside this, I try and go on as many new coaching courses as possible. So I've completed both my level 1 and level 2 hockey coaching. I've been to goalkeeping sessions so that I can pick up new activities and drills and see how they're actually taught in a different way. But yeah, I try and keep up to date by looking for new courses to attend, but sometimes obviously that can be expensive. So I try and do it through social media and speaking to other people to get their ideas and see what's worked for them.
Fourth and final question, what do you do personally to be successful at what you do?
In order to be successful, I personally make sure that I'm really, really organised. I'm quite an organised person anyway, so this comes quite naturally to me. But when I'm planning anything, I make sure I'm weeks ahead, so I don't think about like a one-off lesson, one-off session. I try and think 6 to 8 weeks forward, and kind of think about where I want those participants to be by the end of this kind of unit. So would I want them to be able to complete a set piece of activity in a drill or in a game situation or a certain skill that they need to have mastered by that point? I think that's really helped at being successful because I've been able to break down skills a lot more and been able to track people's progress a lot better. And from that, I can kind of tailor it a bit more individually to their needs. And I think otherwise, to be successful, you have to create some really, really, really good relationships, especially with children. I found throughout my placements with my PGCE, through coaching different groups, if you don't have those relationships, it can be really, really difficult to develop like the sense of trust, the respect that you might need. And once you've got that relationship, boundaries are really easy to set. And then having high expectations comes naturally because you know those kids and you can push them in a way that's specific for them.
Thank you, Claire, for answering those questions. I think it's a great time to end podcast there. So thank you and have a great day.